about God showing no favoritism and the message spreading of the gospel, because a really critical moment we're going to read about in the passage we're going to take up now, which is Acts 10, where Peter receives a vision, and then he gets called, summoned to the house of Cornelius. Now, what Peter's vision is, he's up on his roof, and he sees a picture of all these animals on a sheet. They're all the unclean animals that he's not supposed to eat. So, in the midst of them, you can see them all labeled there. I mean, like, he's picturing them. And God is showing him this vision to say to him, go and eat. Eat anything. Stop living by the old rules. You got to move into a new location. So these are on the list of unclean animals. The leopard, the mamunga, which looks like a bat. Maybe it's a flying squirrel. I don't know. An orangutan, a panther, a lion, a monkey, an ostrich, a peacock, a lobster, a mosquito. Who eats mosquitoes? Otters, pelicans, manatees, mouse, mice, owls, pheasants. I remember going to shoot pheasants when I was a kid. Our family never hunted, but I went to a friend and they hunted. They shot a pheasant out of the sky. I think they're the ones who ate it. I never ate it. In the Old Testament rules of the unclean animals, those included the pheasant. There's a manta ray, a narwhal, an oyster, a pig, a mole, an octopus, panda, a pigeon. There's a whole variety of these animals. And it's kind of a... To actually understand that list is a whole other lesson. We're not going to learn that today. But what Peter had learned is he spent his whole life in a system whereby what you eat was part of who you were. You are what you ate. He was drilled on this from the time he was an infant. And this is the way they lived from generation to generation for 1,000 years or more, you know. And he had the experience of this wall between Jews and Gentiles, and it was an impermeable wall. He's a Jew called by God to be holy, to be separate, and the Gentiles lived on the other side of the wall, and he wasn't supposed to go there. You know, there was a really serious sealed wall. And that's one of the reasons there was so much trouble in Israel in his day, because there were the Romans, the unholy Gentile Romans, occupying the land. Centurions marched around. They were the power that held them in thrall. And they were trusting that God would deliver them, throw those Romans off, and their Messiah would bring them freedom. And they didn't picture it the way we're going to read about it here in this passage of what happens between Peter and Cornelius. For Peter to get this vision of eating whatever animals was shocking to him, and it was throwing his whole world into turmoil. And to top it all off, when he was having this vision, these visitors came from Cornelius the centurion, summoning him to come to his house because he wanted to hear the message that Peter had to preach. And so this Roman centurion, representing the Gentiles, going to meet with this Peter, a Jewish apostle, teacher, and they're going to meet together. And this wall, by God, is going to be broken down. It's weird for Peter to do this. It's really weird. But he realizes that there's a divine appointment set up by God. God is in the middle of all this. So this is God's appointment. And God is doing something that he needs to be a part of. However, when he does it, he realizes, and I think he knows it, very deep down, he's going to face a lot of criticism. There's going to be a lot of flack coming at him. There's going to be a lot of opposition. They're going to be saying, what on earth are you doing, Peter? You're breaking all the old rules. You're breaking our whole identity as Jewish people. Yet Peter went. He took the because he felt it was God's will. That he had to see that God clearly does not show any favoritism. And every nation accepts those who fear him and do what is right. We'll read more about that in a moment. So, Jemima is going to read for us in a moment. He took the risk. He realized God is on the move in this situation. And he's going to go to the people in Cornelius' house who are ready. And he was going to proclaim to them the risen Lord, the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. And what Peter found in Cornelius' house is that the people were ready. They were enthusiastic. They were under conviction by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was moving to bring this house of Gentiles who served the Roman centurion, the guy on the other side of the wall, into a place where they were ready to receive his message about the risen Lord. And they were hungry and searching for the same thing that Peter had found in Jesus Christ, a relationship with God. They were ready for it. Peter watched them listen and drink it in. He saw that they were receptive and they were ready to listen to what he had to say. And then he observed the Holy Spirit come with great power upon those people, and they received this baptism of the Holy Spirit coming from God, coming out of heaven, and it was blasting and blowing away all of Peter's preconceptions and the old rules and the walls that he had learned how to live by, and he was going to have to be ready for moving in God's way. And what Peter realized is he had to get out of the way and let God work. He was witnessing something God was doing, and he had to get out of the way and not prevent him. And Acts 10, 44 and 45 is part of the passage Jemima is going to read for us. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter, the Jews, the ones on one side of the wall, were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on Gentiles. And they realized God is doing something new. He's moving, and we need to get out of the way and let God do his work. Let's I'll do a prayer on this passage, and Jemima will come and read for us. Almighty God, through your only Son, you overcame death and opened to us the light of eternity. Enlighten our minds and kindle our hearts with the presence of your Spirit, that we may hear your words of comfort and challenge in the reading of the Scriptures, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Jemima will come. Make sure the height's right. It's right.
Acts 10:27-48. While talking with him, Peter went inside and found a large gathering of people. He said to them, "You are well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate with or visit a Gentile. But God has shown me that I should not call anyone impure or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without raising any objection. May I ask why you sent for me?" Cornelius answered, "3 days ago, I was in my house praying at this hour, at 3 in the afternoon. Suddenly, a man in shining clothes stood before me and said, 'Cornelius, God has heard your prayer and remembered your gifts to the poor. Send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He is a guest in the home of Simon the Tanner, who lives by the sea. So I sent for you immediately, and it was good of you to come. Now we are all here in the presence of God to listen to everything the Lord has commanded you to tell us.' Then Peter began to speak. 'I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout the province of Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a cross, but God raised him from the dead at the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit has been poured out even on Gentiles, for they heard him speaking in tongues and praising God. Then Peter said, "Surely no one can stand in the way of their being baptized with water. They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have." So he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked Peter to stay with them for a few days.
Thank you, Jemima. That was a very good, clear reading. Thank you very much. Praise God that we can hear the word of the Lord like this. So we're in the Acts of the Apostles, which is written as a book, the Acts, and it's really, it can also be said to be Acts of the Holy Spirit, because you see the Holy Spirit, you know, pouring out at Pentecost. Now you see the Holy Spirit pouring out in this house of Cornelius. We're entering this story at this stage in the unfolding of God's plan. God is unfolding his plan. He's got an unfolding story, which is right in the center of what we're reading about, as God is building his church and gathering his people. And what we're seeing is God on the move. God is on the move. And he does not want to let this movement stand still. So he will always be pushing his agenda forward. God is moving his agenda forward so that he can accomplish what is going to be world transformative. He's going to send this gospel message around the world that Jesus, his son, was raised by his power to become our Lord and our Savior, and that anyone who trusts in his name can receive forgiveness of sins. And he's going to do it at this moment through two men, Peter and Cornelius. They're going to move God's agenda forward. Now, at this time, as we read the story that we just read, Peter is getting shown a vision by God of the unclean animals, and he is not free to eat any of them. He's saying, you know, these old rules don't apply anymore. They just don't. You don't have to live by those rules. They were there in place to hold things, to keep the people separate and holy until now. Now you are made holy by being in relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what's making you holy. And at the same time, Peter is getting a vision of these animals on that rooftop of Simon the Tanner, lives by the sea, as was read in the text. Cornelius, this centurion, is meeting an angel. And a man robed in white with shining clothes is a messenger from God who's saying to Cornelius, go and summon this man Peter, whom I know, who will come and bring you my message. And God wants people to do it because that is his will. He's putting it into the hands of a Gentile like Cornelius and an apostle like Peter, and he's bringing them together with the other believers, the church, to accept the fact that this church that he is building is going to be made up of people from the Gentiles and people from the Jews, and they're going to be together as one family in Christ. So the event is being orchestrated by God as he works with people whose lives and hearts are dedicated to him. Peter loved the Lord. Cornelius loved the Lord. So God is working with those whose hearts are open and turned to him. And he works with Cornelius, centurion, This is an officer post, like, you know, a leader of a platoon or a leader of a brigade or a division. You know, you get ranks of colonels and all the rest. So a centurion is a rank and a position wealthy and esteemed in the Roman army. And the centurion is part of God's story right now. And Peter, the apostle, who has a message to share. Cornelius is completely a Gentile man who does not belong to the people of God, but he's so impressed by who they are as he comes to know them, living amongst them in the land of Judea or Israel. He lives in Caesarea by the sea, and he's impressed by them, and he's impressed by the God whom they worship, and he is known as a lover of God. That's who Cornelius is. His heart is for God. He has a heart for the Lord, and God is going to meet that heart. Peter, meanwhile, is taking all that God has taught him and is now passing it on to anyone whom he can reach and who will listen. Peter is full of the Holy Spirit, and he's not full of doubt anymore. He's not denying Jesus Christ as he did in the garden. He's kind of rubbed off some of the rough edges of being passionate, but not being totally solid. Peter is now solid. He listens to and wants to do what God is doing, and he's going to proclaim what God has given him to proclaim. So Peter is a willing and obedient servant of the Lord, and he's sensitive to God's working and willing to be led by the Holy Spirit no matter what. So God sets up a momentous meeting of Peter and Cornelius. And of course, to start it off, Peter is going to be scandalized by the Holy Spirit in the vision to say that all the old rules no longer apply in the same way. He's going to be scandalized. I mean, this is kind of like a shock, as I said. It's a disturbing message for Peter. It's undoing his worldview. And he's moving into God's worldview, and God's worldview is much bigger and much greater than anything they have known or seen before. Because he's come to realize that Jesus has fulfilled the Old Testament. That Jesus Christ is the culmination of all the Old Testament worship. That all the animals they sacrificed, all the temple worship, all leads to Jesus Christ. And the temple is no longer necessary, so it gets destroyed in 70 AD. That temple is gone, and it still doesn't exist to today, and it's still not needed, so it does not need to be rebuilt, no matter what person you can listen to people on YouTube or whatever, you can hear some prophet speak about, they're going to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem, they're going to get some red heifers and sacrifice them there. There's absolutely no need for it, because Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God to whom we praise and worship. He's the only one, the one and only, and we cry out and sing to him, holy, holy, holy. So actually, the idea of trying to reset the temple is not God's will. It's a violation of it. And it's completely in opposition to the Lord. I'll tell you that. That is what the Bible teaches me. Jesus fulfills the Old Testament in a perfect way, in a holistic way. And that's what Peter is learning, and he's realizing that Jesus' resurrection from the dead means the old rules do not apply, and this is why the resurrection matters so much. That's why the empty tomb is here. We're using that as an illustration. In fact, Jesus is risen from the dead. He encounters and meets the women at the tomb. He encounters and meets his apostles in a room and the 500 different other witnesses of the resurrection through the 50 days of the time between Easter and Pentecost. And he's illustrating to them resurrection matters. It changes everything. So when Peter is summoned by strangers to come to the house of the Roman centurion, he's ready to go. Peter, this is kind of a summary of it. Peter is summoned to Caesarea. Cornelius heeded the angel's instructions So he's got a messenger from God, the angel tells him, go and send for Peter. He sends three men to Joppa to get Peter. And Peter was wondering about the significance of the vision he's received of the animals. It scandalizes him, but he's wondering, what does it mean? What is God telling me? What am I supposed to do with this? The three men come to his house. The Spirit informs Peter that these three men had been sent by God, and Peter heeds the Spirit and addresses the men, and he goes with them to the house of Cornelius. And what Peter would never normally do, go to the house of a centurion, he does. And there he meets Cornelius. And when he comes to meet Cornelius, Cornelius tells Peter of the supernatural encounter of himself with an angelic being. The centurion says, I met an angel. Angel stories are interesting, and you may think they're maybe true, maybe not true. A person will tell you they were in a car driving 60 miles an hour down a highway, and they felt an angel stand in front of their car and tell them to stop, and there's a bridge that's been washed out on the highway by flooding events. An angel has stopped them. People will tell you angel stories, and they're real. Cornelius has an angel story for Peter. And so Peter realized something very important is unfolding before his eyes. He realizes this is really a God moment. He's moving in God's way, and he's going to be fulfilling God's agenda by sharing his message. He's going to deliver his words to this people. Peter is willing to do this because he realizes God is on the move. Peter's whole upbringing in the Jewish law says that stepping into Cornelius' house is forbidden, and it would make him automatically unclean. And that's what you're trying to avoid. You're trying to spend your whole life to be clean and not be unclean. If you're unclean, then you need to be made cleansed by whatever sacrifice you make. And what God is saying is, my Holy Spirit is here before you. And so Peter is willing to do it because Jesus changes everything. That's why he does it. Jesus changes everything. God has told Peter that what was previously unclean has now been made clean by the ministry and reconciliation of Jesus Christ. The ministry and resurrection of Jesus has transformed things so that God is on the move. He's on a move in a powerful way. One of the Old Testament prophecies is that one day the Israelites' tent, their house of Israelites, of the Jewish people, their tent will be lengthened. It will be stretched. It will go out and it will embrace a much wider group of people. This is what's happening right now. It's embracing the Gentiles. And Peter cannot remain in the past. He must move forward into God's future. What is so amazing is that Cornelius says he was informed that God was watching everything and was intervening personally in this situation. And that is an amazing testimony by Cornelius. What the angel says to him is, God has seen you in your heart for God. God has seen you in your giving yourself over to him. God is seeing, he's watching, and he's witnessing. God is on the move. And God is there present. And in the presence of God, Peter and Cornelius meet, and Peter gives his message about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And this is how God brings people to his side. He meets them where their heart is ready for God and for him. Cornelius' heart was good. His actions were worthy. And so God sees he's ready to fully belong to his kingdom by the pouring out of his Holy Spirit. The eyes of the Lord are upon us. Are we recognizing that? Oh Lord, as you see what I am in my prayers and in my life, May you help me to do what you're calling me to do. Have you made me ready enough for Jesus by the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord? And that is what's happening for Cornelius. It happens for thousands and millions of more Gentiles. The gospel goes throughout the world, and it reaches kingdom after kingdom. It goes from land to land. It even encompasses the very islands. I don't know if you recognize the first song we sang, the hymn, Jesus Saves, recognized our own island. Because we were singing, Jesus Saves. Tell it to sinners far and wide, Jesus Saves, Jesus Saves. Sing ye islands of the sea. So that's Guam, an island of the sea. It's Micronesia, all the islands of the sea. It's Japan, islands of the sea. It's the Philippines, thousands of islands of the sea. Indonesia, it's throughout the land. And echo back, ye ocean caves. You go down, you know, in any of the caves around Guam, the Lord is there. Sing, ye islands of the sea, echo back, ye ocean caves. Earth shall keep her jubilee. Earth will keep her jubilee. This past week was Earth Day, the 22nd of April. It's a celebration. If we live on planet Earth, it's our home, we should take care of it. Well, Earth is waiting for its jubilee, fully expecting and waiting for its liberation in Jesus Christ. And that jubilee will come. And we recognize this is our place, and this is the place where we need to proclaim, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. That is our calling, that is our conviction. We join God in his work around the world, and that work has been evidenced here in Acts 10. Peter said, seeing what was happening here in this home of Cornelius, surely no one can stand in the way of their being baptized with water. They're being baptized with the Holy Spirit. Let's baptize them with water. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we'll baptize them into the Christian faith. And they have received the Holy Spirit just as we have. We Jews and these Gentiles are being joined together into one holy, sanctified body of Christ. And so he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And then they asked Peter to stay with them for a few days. And then we read some of these verses. I love to review Peter's sermon a little bit. Acts 10, various verses. Then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears and does what is right, whose heart is given to him. And then he goes on to preach a little later how God, he said to the Cornelius and the family of the household, or people of the household, how God had anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power. He said, you know this, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. Jesus Christ has been confirmed by God as the Messiah. And he says, and he goes on and preaches again, they killed him by hanging him on a cross. But God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen as a witness, as a testimony. Praise God. And then finally, I want to preach and remember just a couple more verses of Peter. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that Jesus Christ is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. Now he's saying this to Cornelius. He's saying this to a Roman who's a servant of Caesar, who's in Rome. And in this empire of Rome, you'd think Caesar is the judge of the living, at least. But he says, no. Jesus Christ is the judge of the living and the dead, appointed by God to the highest throne, the highest judge's seat. It's higher than Kathy's judge seat. The highest seat of the judges belongs to Jesus Christ and him alone. And all the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Amen. We thank and praise you, Father God, that you are allowing us to call you Father, that you are the only holy God whom we can know. You are our holy God, and to you we give our honor and praise. We love you, O God, because you're worthy, the worthy Lamb who was slain for us. And we sing this new song of heaven. We are forgiven. Praise the name of the Lord. Holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation, we sing praise to the King of Kings, and you, Jesus, have become our everything. We adore you, and we want to share you. We pray that you will lead us and guide us to find people whose hearts are ready, whose hearts are hungry and ready to be fed, just like the people of Cornelius and his household. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.